Well, it is our joy tonight to have you here. Welcome back. It's been a wonderful Lord's Day, and already with this morning having the privilege of worship and study of God's Word and the fellowship we've enjoyed. And tonight is one of my favorite things here at Countryside. I know it's true for many of you. As we get to hear from nine people whom the Lord has saved, He's brought to a saving knowledge of Himself, and to hear their story, how the Lord has accomplished that. We do this, for those of you who may be visiting with us or have never seen this happen in person before, let me just remind you of what this is. This is commanded by our Lord Himself. After His resurrection, He gathered in Galilee with His disciples, and He told them, in light of the authority that had been given to Him, that they were to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. And having made disciples from people all over this planet, that they were in whatever country, in whatever venue they found themselves, they were to baptize them. The Greek word simply means to immerse in water. To immerse them in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why is that? What does this ordinance that Christ gave us to do, what does it represent? Well, it represents a couple of spiritual realities. First of all, it represents a picture of the internal change that has already happened to each of these who are being baptized tonight. This baptism doesn't change anything. It doesn't save them. It doesn't accomplish anything other than express their obedience to Jesus Christ, who has commanded it. But what it does is provide a powerful picture of the reality of what has already happened in their souls. As they go under the water, that is a picture of the fact that in Christ, the person they used to be has died. And as I bring them up out of the water, it's a reminder that they have been raised with Christ to new life, a new kind of life, true life, eternal life, a capacity to know God and to ultimately be united with Him forever. It also pictures a public confession. From the very beginning of the early church, baptism was accompanied with this simple profession: Jesus Christ is Lord. And so as they are baptized tonight, they are confessing that they have come to acknowledge Jesus the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, as the Messiah, as God Himself, and as their Lord, whom they have committed to follow. And the third reality that it pictures is their immersion into the body of Jesus Christ. It pictures their being united with other followers of Jesus Christ, with all of us who have confessed Him as Lord. And so as they're baptized tonight, you keep those spiritual realities in mind, because that's what this is intended to picture. I hope you'll pray for each of them as they share their testimonies with us. And maybe choose one or two that you know, or maybe their testimony resonates with you, that you can pray for them in the days ahead as well. You pray for them now as they come to share their testimonies with us.
Hello, my name is Kara Jackson. Before coming to Christ, I lived my life in a way that was pleasing to me and didn't care what anyone had to say about it. I would act like everyone else around me, pretending to be a Christian to fit in with my friends at church, but in reality had a selfish heart and didn't want to read God's word as it told me what to do. I would think bad thoughts about the people around me and wouldn't listen during the lessons as I didn't want to have a relationship with God. I never wanted to go to church as I thought each lesson was boring and didn't care what the Bible said, even though I could recite many verses from it. However, around Easter of 2014, I was listening to the Easter story and how God willingly sent His only Son to die for someone as evil as me, and I finally realized the extent of my sin and repented. I thought of Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," and came to see how in need of a Savior I was and how wicked my past deeds had been. Hearing about the love God has for me and His desire for me to turn to Him, I remembered all the times I had heard verses like 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed," and decided to give my life to God. I repented of my unwillingness to do as he commanded me to it in the Bible, and all the times I disobeyed his word, and asked that he allow me to grow in righteousness and give me the ability to read his word faithfully. I also ask God to allow me to grow in the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22-23, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." As I realized these were the attributes God expected me as a follower of him to have. After giving my life to God, I had a renewed desire to go to church every week and worship God with my friends. I learned to love the fellowship that I have with them and began to study God's word regularly by reading the Bible. As I continued to grow in my walk with the Lord, I saw a change in thinking in myself from my past way of life and learned how to worship God not in a selfish way, but in a way that pleased him and allowed me to get closer to him. Now, 5 years later, I've seen a major change in the way that I think and act towards others, and my understanding of God's word and what he wants for me is much clearer. I desire for everyone to turn to God and have a relationship with him, and also love to have fellowship with those also in Christ and study his word with them. So I'm here tonight to present myself to God and get baptized as he commanded his followers to do, and grow my walk with God even further.
Well, Kara, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. Because you have understood the gospel, because you understand that Jesus Christ bore your sins in his body on the cross, and because you have repented of your sins, put your faith in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is David Lozano. I'm here to get baptized. Just like many of you, I was raised a Christian in a Christian household, and I went to church every Sunday, and I learned about God at a very young age. Back then, though, I knew that I wanted to go to heaven, but I thought that if I was good, or at least good enough, I was going to be okay. But I was wrong. I lived a life of lies, selfishness, idolatry that was leading me only to my death. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one, in Romans 3:10. It was not only until my teenage years that, by God's grace, he opened my eyes and helped me see the truth. It was when I was having a conversation with my mother about salvation that I saw the reality I was in and the weight of my sin. I kept living a life based on works instead of by faith, and I needed to change that. I repented and turned my sin to Christ and his glory, because he lived the perfect life that I was supposed to live and died in my place. Just like Romans 10:9 says that if you confess your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it was by his grace and mercy that I repented and believed. Ever since then, the Lord has changed my life and given me a purpose. Just as in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, behold, the new things have come." He has caused growth in me and helped me see sin that I didn't even know how was present in my life. He constantly shows me areas of my life that needed to be changed, whether it's through a sermon or by reading his word. But ultimately, he shows me that he is always there with me, no matter the circumstance, and that also he is in control that everything happens in my life. My focus has shifted from living a life for myself to focusing on loving him and his people, and also the plan that he has for me, because I'll no longer live for myself, but for him to have died and rose again. And that is why I'm getting baptized today.
Well, David, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. And clearly you have articulated the gospel, that you have acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. You have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You have seen that your only hope is through the grace of God working in your life to change you, to redeem you. And because you can confess that you are a new creature in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Amy Woodruff, and I am here tonight to share my testimony with you. I grew up in California in a Buddhist household, but never really understood the core doctrines of Buddhism. My mother always told me, "Do good, and your good deeds will bring merit. And through karma, I may one day be free from suffering." For over 3 decades, I did not see a reason to believe otherwise. I was blind to the truth. I find that Ephesians 4:18 describes my life before Christ. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. My understanding of sin then was far different than what it is today. As a young adult, I engaged in mindless acts without thinking twice about the repercussions. I was deceitful, slow to forgive, easy to anger, and motivated in my pursuit of earthly possessions, wrongly assuming that they would bring me happiness. Colossians 3:2 reminds us, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." I struggled with being emotionally triggered and very much driven by anxiety and fear. Fear of unmet expectations and missed milestones. I was breaking God's law without even knowing it. I attended my first church service with my now husband, Ty Woodruff, in the fall of 2017. I left that morning filled with questions. After several Sundays of church attendance, I remember distinctly thinking, even if I believe Jesus is the Son of God and trust him as my Lord and Savior, I don't deserve salvation. I haven't done enough good works to deserve God's grace. A month later, in October, the sermon was about sola gratia, grace alone. The scripture reading that day was Ephesians 2:1 through 10. That was the first time I heard, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." I was comforted in knowing that I cannot earn his grace, nor do I deserve it, but it is given freely at the expense of his Son, Jesus Christ. Since coming to Christ, I have acknowledged my sinful nature and recognized my need for true repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation with God. I have noticed a significant difference in how I cope in times of affliction. I ask the question, why does God allow pain and suffering? John MacArthur's response to this question is, "God uses suffering to humble us, to reveal our spiritual character, and to display his grace." James 1 verse 2 reads, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. With this, I trust in the Lord and trust that his plans for me are far greater than any plan I have for myself." One verse I always find strength in is Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Trusting in Christ has lessened my anxiety by aligning my thoughts and desires with his eternal purpose. Christ has done so much for me, so to show my obedience to him and following the teaching of scripture, I am here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Amy, we rejoice in God's work in your life. We thank you that he brought you out of a system that knows no grace to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Because it is by grace that you have been saved. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Josh Allen, and this is my testimony. I was born in a Christian household. I went to church every week. I was homeschooled. I was in a Christian Boy Scout troop, and I was on a Christian basketball team. My church was a PCA church. They believed in covenant baptism rather than believer's baptism, hence I was baptized as an infant. In order to partake in communion at my church, I had to give a testimony very similar to what I'm doing now. But I was age 12, and much of my testimony was just reciting stuff I learned in Sunday school rather than a sincere profession of faith. Over the course of my senior year in high school, I started reading and listening to arguments against Christianity that challenged my faith. At the time, I found the arguments convincing because I didn't recognize the naturalistic assumptions behind the arguments. In hindsight, I overlooked such assumptions because my heart was ultimately in the wrong place. I started college as a self-proclaiming atheist. I thought the point of life is to just do what I want to do. It didn't take long to realize how shallow such a hedonistic life is. I began to get interested in politics. While listening to political commentary and arguments, several of my beliefs about scientific peer review were debunked, and I realized that academia isn't anywhere near as objective and unbiased as previously presented. Later, during my junior year at college, a guy witnessed to me while on a bus. During this conversation, I realized that many of my past accepted arguments were not only unconvincing to him, but they were unconvincing to myself. I went to his church a few times, but I didn't continue. I did, however, start listening to Christian political commentary, and I'd occasionally watch sermons online. Even though I started on a path to Christ, I still didn't have my trust in the Lord at that time, and was still more interested in politics. But God says in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Right around the time I graduated college, I was invited to come to Countryside Bible Church, and I joined 128 a few weeks later. Pastor Tom's sermons on Romans chapter 6 through 8, as well as discussions with friends from 128, both challenged and encouraged me to be more like Christ. Though I don't know the exact moment of regeneration, I came to accept Jesus as my Savior and put my trust in him. Titus 3 verse 5 says, "He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." One of the verses I had memorized at a young age was Proverbs 3 verse 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Since I've previously put my trust in the vanities of the world, trusting in God is a point of emphasis for me. Even though things on earth may appear to be getting worse, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Reading the Bible has become much more important to my Christian life than ever before. For a while, I paid attention to just the first part of 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, "All scripture is inspired by God." But the rest of the verse has become especially important to me. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Furthermore, we know from Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Though I was lost, God, through his providence, brought me back to him, so here I am to be baptized.
Joshua, thank you for sharing your heart, your testimony with us. And we rejoice for the fact that God brought you to understand that your only hope was in Christ and in him alone. That, as you said, not trusting in man, whether it's other men or in yourself, but rather trusting in the work of Jesus Christ alone. You quoted Titus 3, "Because you have come to understand that you are saved not because of works of righteousness which you have done, but solely because of his mercy. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit."
Hi, my name is Abby Anderson, and this is my testimony. Before Christ, I was a sinner with no hope of salvation. I grew up in a Christian home, attending church every Sunday morning and night. I knew all the answers in Sunday school, but my life proved this to be only knowledge and not faith. I was a prideful, self-centered little girl who only cared about what others thought of me. I was willing to lie about others and myself in order to make myself look better. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 6:16-19 says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers." I was a very disrespectful to my parents and unkind to my sisters at home. Then I would turn on my angel face when others were around. I didn't like going to church and thought that the church services were boring. I was a sinner who had disobeyed a holy God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I could tell you that I was a sinner and that Jesus died for my sins, but those were realities had not truly impacted my heart. But by the grace of God, sometime around the age of 9, I repented of my sin and believed in the gospel. God took my hard heart, and transformed it into one that loved him. Since coming to Christ, I have seen amazing growth in my life. I now love church and the understanding of the word I glean from, and the fellowship I enjoy there. I truly love God's people and his word. I strive to honor the Lord in all I do. While I struggle daily with my struggle against the flesh, I have seen growth in my love for truth and my battle against pride and my love for others. My life has changed forever because of my Lord and Savior, who loved me, a sinner, so much that he gave his life for me. It is not knowledge or work that I have done that has brought me to salvation, but the work of Christ Jesus alone on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Christ has made me new, and he has given me a new heart that loves him, loves his word, and loves his people. Therefore, I love the opportunities he has given me to serve in the church. I am very thankful for the amazing teaching and fellowship I receive every Sunday and Wednesday that refresh my heart at the beginning and middle of every week. I desire to honor and obey my Savior, and that is why I'm here to be baptized."
Well, Abby, we are so grateful for your sharing your story with us, for walking us through the inner workings of your heart before you really came to understand your sin, and then that the Lord brought you to himself and the changes that he's produced afterwards. Because you understand the gospel, because you confess Jesus as Lord, because you and those around you can see that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Blaine Stonecipher. I'm 16 years old, and I am here to share with you the story of how I was adopted into the family of Christ. As a young child, I struggled to love others. I knew in my heart and from what others had taught me that I was supposed to put others' needs before my own, but I chose to listen to this deceit that my heart cried out against my spirit. As Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" My wicked heart fed my actions and resulted in hateful actions and words toward my siblings, rebellions against my parents and authorities, and an overall hate of the God who created me and who provides and sustains all of my needs. I had no desire to serve others or to even tell them about the amazing truths and soul-saving remedy I had learned so much about in Sunday school. I was apathetic towards the gospel and my eternality and what I had been commanded to do in Scripture. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, as taught in Ephesians 2:1, with no hope of a salvation or life in Christ, because I was an enemy of him. When I was 9 years old, I was playing in a basketball league at my grandparents' church for a season, and at the conclusion of the season, there was a gospel presentation. And on that night of the presentation, my eyes were opened to see the true simplicity of the gospel and the hope which it offered. I realized that my life was meaningless as long as I was living in my unrepentant and rebellious sin. That night, I walked an aisle, signed a card, and prayed with a sweet old man who told me that I had been saved. After my dad and I had arrived home, we sat in his room for a while and talked about what the gospel really was and what it means to be a follower of Christ. It was then that I learned I could not put my hope of salvation in my words of confession and the things I had done that night at the church. I articulated the gospel as well as I could at 9 years old, and I knew then that I had truly confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that his Father raised him from the dead, as stated in Romans 10:9-10. I repented of my sins that night and became dedicated to the commands that he has proclaimed in his word. Since coming to Christ, I am a new creation, and I see that cultivated every day in the study of his word, the glorification of him through my actions, and in the way I treat others. I have a desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to love others unconditionally as he did. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." I live my life in light of God's promise in Proverbs 21, 21, which states, "He who pursues righteousness shall find life, prosperity, and honor." God has made my salvation evident to me through my sanctification, and I am glad to fulfill my Lord's command from Matthew 28 tonight by being baptized.
Blaine, thank you. It's wonderful to see the work of God that he brought you to understand your sinfulness, that nothing that you could do, no words that you say, no prayer that you pray, nothing but the work of Jesus Christ could make you right with God. Because you have repented of your sins and put your faith in him and in him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Haley Wanless, and I'm 14 years old. I was raised by loving parents in a Christian household that taught that the Bible is the true word of God and that he died for the sins of those who would believe. I thought that I was a good girl and that since my parents were saved, I thought that I would be saved too. I believed that God was real and that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I was content going to church and reading my Bible. I thought that since I went to church that I must be saved and that I'd go to heaven. This is not what I was taught, but in my heart of hearts, that is what I believed. Last year, after years of thinking that I was saved, I was at one of the Wednesday night youth Bible studies. I heard something that made me actually think about my life as a saved person. Our youth leader challenged us to search our hearts and ask the question, "Do I belong to Christ?" It seemed a simple question, and my obvious reply was yes. That night, as I lay in my bed, I thought over what had been taught that night. I asked myself, why should I deserve eternal life? After a lot of thinking, I realized I could not answer that question. I didn't deserve eternal life, deserve God's judgment. I struggled over this for quite a while. During youth Bible study, we had been memorizing several verses. One that stuck out to me the most was Titus 3:5. After reading Titus 3, the enormity of the verse struck me. In Titus 3:4-7, it says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This verse touched me because I realized I did not do anything to earn his mercy. He granted it freely to those who might repent and believe in him. I then realized my need for forgiveness and salvation. I prayed like I never prayed before. I asked for his forgiveness. I repented of my sins and I realized that he died on the cross for me. He died for my sins. I finally understood Isaiah 53:6. It says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." I realized that I had lived a life of opposition to Christ, and that it was my sin that was on his shoulders. When I confessed this to the Lord, I finally felt the peace that only those in Christ feel. I felt light and joyful. Finally, I knew I was a daughter of Christ. Since my salvation, I have strived to honor Christ in all that I do. In Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." I know that I mess up every day, but I also feel the peace and forgiveness of God when I repent and ask for his forgiveness. I also feel disquieted, distressed, and uncomfortable when I become aware of sin that I have not dealt with. I love Christ, and I love to serve him and others. God has constantly steered me towards him. I see that now. He has given me a sense of guilt when I sin, and he has also blessed me with many godly friends and group leaders that encourage me in my walk with Christ. I am still tempted in sin, but God has been with me, and I am no longer tempted to disobey my parents. I do not find pleasure in lying, and I no longer like reading books or watching movies that are not honoring to God. I now love going to church and hearing His word taught, whereas before it was just something our family did. I now enjoy doing my own personal Bible study, and the Lord has helped me see that my best before Him is filthy rags. I cannot do anything to earn His mercy. It is a free gift that He has given me. In Psalm 106:1 it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." I finally feel I can praise Him for His love that truly endures forever. I love God, and I want my love for Him to show through my obedience of His word, and that's why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Haley, thank you, and we're so grateful that the Lord brought you to understand the reality of sin. You know, we're all born the way you described yourself, and that is thinking that somehow by our efforts we can make ourselves right with God. But because by His Spirit and His Word He brought you to understand that's not true, that it's only through Christ, and because you have confessed Him as Savior and Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Drew Wanless. I am 16 years old, and I was first convicted of my sin. I was first convicted of the depth of my sin in December of 2015. Before I became a Christian, I used to think that my good works would get me to heaven and that I could do those so-called good works without the help of God. Little did I know that the heaven I thought I could get myself into was really the opposite of what I thought. My actions, had I continued, would have gotten me to hell and nowhere else. I was raised in a Christian family that taught me that God is one and only true God and that Jesus died for believers' sins on the cross. He took our place to receive God's wrath that we deserved, and He did not. At that time, I didn't understand that we deserved to die for our sins. I always thought that I was good enough, even though in the Bible it says no one is good enough except the Son of God. Jesus is the only one who is perfect in everything. When we went to our previous church, I sat under the teachings of a faithful pastor who showed me that I needed a Savior and that without one, I was a sinner that could only offer filthy rags to God. God convicted me of my sins when I heard those sermons. In a certain sermon that I don't even recall the title of, the pastor taught that it wasn't good works that got you to heaven, but the saving grace of God alone. The pastor said that if you were not saved, you would spend eternity in hell. This shocked me quite a bit. I did not even understand that as a non-believer that I was in opposition of God. I thought that I knew who God was. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I was taught that the Holy Spirit resided in the hearts of those He saved. Yet I did not know that I specifically needed Jesus. I thought that because I knew of God, that I knew God. When I sat under the teaching that shared my specific need for a Savior, I began to recognize Him as the one and only all-powerful God who is the one and only who saves. Titus 3:5 says, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." This verse says that God saved us, not that we can save ourselves. Man can do nothing to get to heaven. This was proven by the Tower of Babel, where man thought that they could build their way to heaven without needing to be saved. Because of their sinful thinking, God scattered them over all the earth and changed their languages. I began to see how I was thinking like those people, and it was a sin against God. So it was by God's grace that I began to think about how I could bring glory to Him and not myself. I asked for forgiveness of my sins, and since then have tried to be faithful in reading the Bible, praying, and obeying His commandments. I want to do these things because it pleases God. He says in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I want to resist the temptations of the world and follow the Lord to see what He has in store for me to bring Him glory. I want to share the gospel with everyone around me. That includes other believers, because God says to feed His sheep, and His sheep are our fellow believers. Since I am a Christian, I want it to be evident in everything I do, whether it's talking, working, or having fun. God commands us to have fellowship with other Christians because it builds up our faith in Christ. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." For this reason, I seek out fellowship with other believers. I am working on Bible verse memorization and reading His Word. I participate in the high school Bible study, Sunday morning Sunday school, and actively participate in worship. I also listen to trusted teachers preaching throughout the week. While I am newer to Countryside, I am trying to get to know fellow believers to build friendships with those who also want to glorify God. I am seeking godly relationships so that I can be an encouragement to others and that my faith might be encouraged. That is why I'm here tonight.
Well, Drew, we rejoice in the work of God in your life and the fact that you came beyond the idea that you could rescue yourself, that somehow your efforts could make you right with God, that you came to understand the truth of the passage you quoted, that it's not our works of righteousness. Favorite verse, obviously, of many tonight, and the Lord used that in your life. And because that is your testimony, because your confidence of being right with God is solely in the work of Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Frank, and this is my testimony. I've grown up at Countryside, so I was hearing the gospel when I was very young. I was a very shy, timid child and didn't like attention. I would answer the question if I was called on, but that was all. If you asked me about my faith when I was a little girl, I would have said I was a Christian, but I didn't even know what that was. I just wanted to look like everyone else, or I was trying to get whoever asked me the question to stop talking to me. I hated when people would ask me questions or if I ever stood out in any way. I just wanted to blend in, so I would say I was a Christian, not knowing what it meant. From the outside, my life didn't look bad. I was your typical child that tried to obey my parents and get along with my siblings, but didn't always succeed. In my heart, I was a horrible sinner, even if those around me couldn't see it. I didn't care about what was said at church, and I went on my way. At home, I tried to listen to my parents, but I often fought with my siblings and tried to get what I wanted. But I thought since it was at home, no one ever saw it, so why did it matter? I had blinded myself to the sin in my heart. No one was going to make me see it, and that was fine with me. It wasn't until I was in middle school that I came to realize what my sin truly was. Like it says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Isaiah 53:6, "All of us like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." The Lord opened my eyes to see that I couldn't keep faking it. No matter what people thought of me or how good I looked, my heart was stained red with sin. I asked Jesus for forgiveness for my sins and thanked him for what he had did on the cross for me. For the first time, I finally understood what John 3:16 meant. God truly did love me, and he wanted me as his child so much that he sent his one beloved son to come die for me. I'm not perfect, far from it, but since coming to Christ and repenting of my sin, I have seen growth in my spiritual walk. Reading God's word is a blessing and no longer a burden. Going to youth every week and being discipled by my small group leaders is something I look forward to. The verses I knew when I was a kid now mean something to me, like Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I know that I did nothing to earn my salvation, and that I was truly from God's grace and mercy." Or Galatians 2:20, that says, "I have been crucified as Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I know that I live my life for Christ now. He has given me a wonderful gift that I want to share with those around me." Colossians 1:10 through 12 are verses I've been meditating on recently, and it says, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Christ has shown me that I was a sinner, but he didn't just leave me in my sin. He gave me a way for salvation. I love to use the gifts God has given me by serving in our church. Working with children is one of my favorite ways to serve. Not only do I get to tell kids about Jesus, but it's wonderful to see their excitement for him. I strive to serve God wholeheartedly every day. I know I'm not perfect, but I know God has given me the Holy Spirit to help me in times of trouble. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able,
but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God will not let us go through anything he doesn't think we can handle. He didn't leave us here alone. He gave us his Holy Spirit for strength and help in times of trouble. He is our rock and foundation. God loves me and cares for me, and I try to live my life for him. I seek to follow his commandments and that he has clearly given us in his word, which is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Jessica, it's been a joy to watch the Lord at work in your life through the years and to see the Lord bring you to a place where you have truly understood your own sin and you have come to understand the reality of one of the most well-known and yet misunderstood verses in the Bible. That God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son so that because you believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Because that's the confession of your heart. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I do hope that you will pray for one or more of these that you've heard their testimonies tonight and the days ahead, that God would continue the work of growing them up in their faith in the years ahead. And I also want to say, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've heard the gospel, you've heard it from several different mouths, all of them have in their own way expressed the gospel clearly. I think you understand from the scriptures they have recited tonight that there is no way that you can ever be right with God by your own efforts, by your own actions, by your own merit. In fact, all that earns you is death. For the wages of sin, what you earn from the sin that you've committed is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of being right with God, is a gift of God given only to those who are willing to do what Jesus said. In the first message recorded in Mark's gospel, he said, you must repent and believe the gospel. You must turn from what you know to be sin. You must be willing to abandon your rebellion against God. And you must put your faith solely in the work of Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, in his substitutionary death, and in his resurrection as the only hope you have of being right with God. If you will repent and believe in him in that way, then the scripture assures us that for everyone who calls on the Lord like that, you will be saved. You will be rescued from your sin. And in a moment's time, you will go from being the enemy of God to being his adopted child. It's my prayer that you would do that even tonight before your head hits the pillow. Let's pray together as we finish our time. Father, we do thank you for your amazing work in these 9 lives. And Lord, we pray for each of them. We pray for Kara, for David, for Amy, for Joshua, for Abby, for Blaine, for Haley, for Drew, for Jessica. Lord, we thank you that you brought them to the end of themselves. You brought them to see their utter hopelessness of ever standing in your presence as accepted, as forgiven, apart from the work of Jesus Christ. His life lived in our place, his death satisfying your justice against every sin we've committed. And then you raised him from the dead. Father, thank you that you brought each of them to see and understand that reality, and you brought them to a true knowledge of yourself. And now, Father, I pray that you would continue the work in each of their lives. Even as we're reminded this morning, you began the work by calling them to yourself through the gospel. We pray that you would continue that work until you present them complete and perfect in your presence in the years to come. Father, I do pray as well for those who may be here tonight who are not followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those who know that, who came tonight knowing that that's true. And Lord, I pray for others who have convinced themselves that they are They are your followers because they prayed a prayer when they were a child or walked an aisle or, Lord, some other act that they think gives them salvation. Lord, I pray that tonight you would disown them of that and that you would bring them to see that their only hope is Jesus Christ and that they would cry out for the forgiveness that you offer in and through him. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.